Good morning, Hope Church. Thank you so much once again for the joy and the privilege of speaking to you this morning. Let's bow and we have a word of prayer. Father, I ask this morning that you will anoint your servant so that I may deliver your word with clarity, simplicity, and authority. Lord, I pray that you give us a word in season, something that will be relevant to the people that are listening this morning. So come now and speak as all of us listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Peter Wagner, the Bible College professor, once said this: revival will happen when the walls between the church and the community are torn down. And this can only happen when we switch our paradigm from that of come to our church to let's go to the community. And that's the paradigm shift that needs to happen. So instead of waiting for the community to walk into our church, we must intentionally walk into our community. Now, God did not wait for men to reach out to him, but he first reached out to men. We love only because he first loved us. Now, when can this happen? Now, have you ever noticed that when we are using a rented property like an Airbnb or a hotel room, we tend to be very careless and rough in our usage of the space. But if it is our own home, we would treat everything with greater care. Isn't that true? Now, you may ask, why is that so? I think it's primarily because of one thing, and that thing is called ownership. Ownership. You know, when we own something, we take care of it. You know, when we take ownership of something, we will have a commitment towards it. And that's the difference, for example, between a garden and a desert. You know, the prophet Jeremiah, describing the condition of Israel, alluded to this in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 11. The prophet said, "It will be made a wasteland, parched and desolate before me. The whole land will be laid waste because there is no one who cares." You know, how is it that a land can become desolate? It is primarily because there is no one who cares for it. And what is true in the physical is also true in the spiritual. And the same can be true for any territory. For example, I think that Singapore will become a spiritual wasteland if there is no church who will care for her spiritually. And this is where I want to introduce to you the concept that we coined territorial commitment. The concept of territorial commitment. Now, you may ask, Pastor Benny, what is territorial commitment? If I can give you a working definition, I will define it this way. A territorial commitment is when a church begins to take personal responsibility for the well-being of a land and its inhabitants. And this morning, in the context of loving our block, in the context of loving Singapore block by block, I challenge you to make a territorial commitment to the community that you are in. Now, if there is a church that can impact your community, I think yours can be that church. Now, when we study the Bible very carefully, we find that our God is very concerned about land and territory. He frequently sees people in terms of territory. Where do they come from? Where are they going? You know, this is something that I have found in looking at the scriptures. So if I could show you a picture here, there seems to be a trigonometry between God, people, and land. There seems to be a deep relationship between God, people, and land. Let me give you some examples. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Listen to this. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land." You notice the trigonometry between God, people, and land. You see, whenever the people obey the Lord, the land is blessed. See, when the people do not walk in the ways of God, the land comes under a curse. There's this trigonometry, this correlation between God, people, and land. Let me give you another example. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 35 and 36. when they dedicated the temple to the Lord, this is what it was recorded for us in 1 Kings 8. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they sin against you, when they pray towards this place and confess your name and turn from their sins because you afflict them, then hear from heaven, forgive the sins of your servants, your people, Israel, and that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk, and give rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. Now, notice again the correlation between God, people, and land. See, God is a territorial God. He placed different people in different places for different purposes, for different periods of time. So if a people obeys God, the land will be blessed. If the people do not walk in God's way, they will end up desolate. The land will end up desolate. There is a strong relationship between God, people, and land in the Old Testament. Now, let me take that idea and now outline for you three key concepts that I think should spur us on to actually loving our block, you know, and loving the community that God has planted us in. Here are three key concepts. Number one is this: there's a concept of appointment. The concept of appointment. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Listen to this. From one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. So what Paul is saying here is this: from one man, God made every nation of men. And then God's desires that man should inhabit the whole earth. But he also added this, that it is God who determines the time set for them. In other words, God is the one who holds our time in his hands and the exact places where they should live. Don't miss this. God is the one who not just determines the times in our life, but he also determines the places where they should live. So where you live, where you work, where you worship has been determined by who? It's determined by God himself. So we do not simply move from one place to another just based on whims and fancies, just based on property prices, but it should really be based on the will of God. I am in Australia today, not just by my own design, but it is by God's will. You are in Singapore today, not just by your own design, but it's really because God has determined that you should be in Singapore at this time. And this is true not only in terms of where we live, but also in terms of where we minister. There is that concept of appointment. It is God who appoints these things for us. The second is the concept of assignment. It's one thing to understand God's appointment. It's another thing to recognize that there's an assignment in that appointment. Okay, the concept of assignment. Now, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. Here is Paul writing to the Corinthians. Listen to this. Paul said, "We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits." Now, don't miss that word, proper limits. "But will confine our boasting to the field." That can also be translated as territory, sphere of influence that God has assigned to us. In other words, God assigned to all of us a certain field, a certain territory, a certain sphere of influence within which we minister. So listen to what Paul says here. God has assigned to us a field that reaches even to you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity amongst you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in another man's territory, but let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. In this passage, Paul actually talks about how you and I are placed strategically within a particular city, particular community or territory, but for the purposes of God. And within this territory, which in Paul's case reaches all the way to Corinth. So he actually says that it is God who assigned Corinth to me. And within Corinth, I have brought the gospel, and all of you are within my territory, my sphere of influence. You are all within my field that God has assigned to me. Now, it's the same for all of us. Within the territory that God has assigned to us, we will rule and reign with Christ with kingly authority. Within that territory God has assigned us to, we will make the greatest impact for the kingdom of God. Within that assigned territory, we will find the favor of God. Within that territory, we will find every resource we need to finish the task that God has given to us. And Paul also talks about not boasting beyond proper limits. And that word limits refers to our assigned sphere of influence, our assigned territory, our assigned field. He speaks of that field that is given to him to preach the gospel within. And he said, it is not another man's territory. That's the territory, that's the field that God has assigned to him as his first priority. And this is where his territorial commitment is. And within that field, he must win and disciple the inhabitants. And it is only when he has finished working this field, this territory that God has given to him, then he wants to expand into regions beyond. Now, can you see the picture here? All of us have been assigned a field, a territory, a sphere of influence. And within our specific territory, we are going to rule and reign with Christ. Why? Because that's the concept of assignment. It is God who appoints, it is God who then assigns to us that field, that sphere of influence, that territory. And the third is the concept of adoption. That's a very important concept. Listen to me. The concept of adoption. Earlier on, we read Jeremiah 12:11. It will be made a wasteland, parched and desolate before me. The whole land will be laid waste. Why? Because there is no one who cares. You see, it's one thing to recognize that I am where I am by the appointment of God. It's one thing to realize that within this appointed place and time, I have certain assignment, certain field that is assigned to me. But it's another thing to also adopt it, take it to heart. And that's the concept of adoption. It's like Jeremiah 12:11 says, until someone takes that land to heart, it will become desolate. And what is true in the natural is also true in the spiritual. So unless and until a church rises up in a community and take that community to heart, adopt it like its own, take responsibility for the spiritual well-being of that land and its inhabitants, that land will become desolate. But once we do, we will find everything we need to actually finish the task. Everything we need, be it favor, finances, manpower, facilities, anointing. And that is why God challenged his people, right? Even though God actually exiled them to a foreign land, God still tells his people, seek the welfare of the city that I have exiled you to. Even though that land is foreign to them, right? You reread this in Jeremiah 29:7. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. You see, wherever God has planted us, that is a territory he assigned to us to preach the gospel in, to disciple the people in. And if we take it to heart, if we adopt it, then when that place, when people begin to come to know the Lord, when that place begin to be reached out to and cared for and loved, you know what? The spiritual atmosphere in that place will change. And when that city prosper, we too will prosper. You see, you are living in that HDB block not just by chance. It is by the design of God. God plants you there. And within that block, when your block is rich for Christ, the spiritual atmosphere over your area will change. And I believe the Holy Spirit is right now challenging believers, pastors, churches all over this land, take territorial responsibility for our community. And once we make a territorial commitment to our community, if you as an individual Christian take responsibility for your block, we release a spiritual dynamics that will strike fear in the hearts of the enemies. And it will bring a new harvest breakthrough for our nation. The concept of appointment, the concept of assignment, and then the concept of adoption. And when we adopt it, that is when we are beginning to make a territorial commitment to our land. Now, you may ask, what is the purpose then of making this territorial commitment, of adopting this land, taking this land to heart, taking my block and the inhabitants there to heart? What is the purpose of doing that? Now, making a territorial commitment is more than just making a declaration. It actually comes with specific commitments and action. And I can think of at least four key actions that are involved. Number one is this: when we say that we are making a territorial commitment to this block that I'm living in, what are you saying? You are literally saying, number one, I am committed to pastor this community. I'm committed to pastor this block. But when we begin to know our community and own our community, a paradigm shift will take place. The wall between the church, which is us, and the community will come down, and the community will become our church. The whole block and all the people that are in it, they become like our congregation. It's like John Wesley said, the world is my parish. The world is my parish. You know, when I was church planting in the north of Singapore in Yishun many, many years ago, my pastor friends would come around because they know I was church planting. They wanted to know how the church had grown and progressed. So they always ask me that famous question, so how big is your church now? And I always give them a standard answer. The standard answer is, oh, my church is big. It's mega. It's 200,000 strong. Why do I say that? It's because that's the population of that city. That's the population of Yishun at that time. We are sent, and we made the territorial commitment to the Yishun area. We pastor the city there. The entire population of Yishun is my sheep. But on a Sunday morning, only 400 are in my congregation. The rest are all lost sheep out there. And it's our job as a church to go out there and look for them, to bring them in. And my focus is no longer just about growing my congregation. It's about winning my community. And we're not just content just to have more and more Christians come and join our church, especially if they come from other people's churches. That's not the point. We begin to measure the growth of our church by the number of converts that come from that community. And that's what it means to make a territorial commitment, take territorial responsibility for the community that God has placed us in. So if God has placed you in that block in Bedok, then you take territorial commitment for that block and turn the inhabitants of that block into your flock. You pastor them, number one. Number two, you police the community. Or another way to put it, you pray for that community. See, when we make a territorial commitment, I believe we are like deputized by the Holy Spirit to become a spiritual policeman. For what? To enforce God's will on earth as it is in heaven. And when we walk around the community and we see things, when you walk around your block and you see things that is not of God, then what do? You are deputized by the Holy Spirit. You have that authority in prayer to arrest those things in Jesus' name. See, you see families that are broken. You see children that are wayward. You see stuff happening in the community and you know that it's not the will of God. We have spiritual authority. If you make a territorial commitment to that place, you have the authority to actually arrest them, arrest those activities, arrest those things in Jesus' name, in prayer. Now, our national strategy is to plant a cell group in every block in Singapore. You know, each block has an average about 100 families. families inside. It is the job of these cell groups to then begin to pray and to serve and to reach out to every family within that block. And prayer walking our territory also help our church, our people, to see the community and to develop a real compassion for the people in that land. It's like we always say, we pray on site with insight. That's what prayer walking is. We are praying on site with insight. And through warfare prayer, we push back the powers of darkness over the residents in the block and remove the spiritual blindness over their eyes. We fully recognize that unless and until the strongholds in that block, in the strongholds in the families in that block are torn down in prayer, we are not going to see significant breakthroughs in the spiritual realm. That's why, number one, we begin to pray for the we pastor the community, and then we police or pray for the community. There's a third thing we need to do. When we say we make a territorial commitment to that block, then what are we doing? We are going to profile our community. Okay, we profile the community, get to know the community. See, along with prayer, we also make contact with the community in order to discover and profile their felt needs. You know, when we were working in Yishun, we surveyed the blocks that we are targeting by doing community surveys. We find out what the felt needs of the people are. And those information about their needs became the fuel for our intercession and the basis for us to create programs that could actually meet the felt needs in our community. The context made also prepares the way for us to build relationships with the people in our block in the future. How many of you agree? We can only love someone when we know them. Is that right? You can only love a person when you truly know that person. And that's what we do when we are courting. Is that right? What are you doing when you're courting? You're basically profiling the person, getting to know what the person is like. What are their likes, dislikes? What do they value? What do they don't? And the same thing can happen with the community. We actually learn to love the community by getting to know them. And so we need to profile them, get to know what they care about. And in order to know the community, we must be where the community is. So as we engage the people in our neighborhood, we no longer see them as trees walking around, but they become our friends. They became our so-called church members. Okay, because we pastor our block. And through profiling, that was when I discovered that Singapore is not all homogeneous. I used to think that every Singaporean is well taken care of. They all chase after the same things, you know, the wealth and all of that. But I discovered through profiling, through getting to know the community, that actually not every Singaporean is wealthy. In fact, many of them can hardly make ends meet, you know. And that is where I discovered that there are many who are actually holding multiple jobs, trying to make ends meet, resulting in latchkey kids, delinquent teenagers, and all of that because the parents are never around. And the church, I also discovered, is so middle class that we are not part of that world. And the fact is this, that when Christ comes into our life, we all step into the covenantal blessings of God, and most of us experience a social lift, right? We could be, you know, we can come from very poor background, and because of the influence of Christ in our life, because of the influence of the church, we all do better in life. And as a result, we go up the social ladder. But the problem is this, we may come from a lower sector of society, and when we experience a social lift because of the gospel, we end up going to the top. And when we get to another strata, we tend to mix around with people in that strata, and we begin to lose touch with those where we came from, you see. And we just get the social lift, and we lose touch with the people from where we came from. And when we make a territorial commitment and we step into the life of the community, that's when I was awakened, you know, from my beauty sleep, and I came to reality. I was awakened to a community full of dysfunctional homes, abused children, battered wives, prostituting mothers even within our community, poverty level, living, etc. And through that, it was a real wake-up call for me. And I now understood what Ezekiel the prophet was saying in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 15, when he saw the people who have been exiled to a foreign land. And this is what happened. He said in Ezekiel 3:15, "Then I came to the captives at Tel Abit, who dwelt by the river Chiba, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished amongst them for 7 days." You know, when the prophet went to see where the people in captivity are, you know, he said, "I sat where they sat." You know, I don't know if you have ever had this experience when you're reading the Bible and then suddenly it seems like some words or some phrases get become bold and they jump out at you. And I had that experience once when I was reading Ezekiel 3:15. Those words, "I sat where they sat," it's almost like they jumped out at me. And then I was awakened. When I was walking the blocks during that time and getting to know the community, profiling the community that God has sent us to, I sat where they sat. And like Ezekiel, I was astonished. I really was. There was so much brokenness in the community that if you actually sit where they are sitting, you will also say, "I am astonished." I begin to feel their pain, understand the complications that they face, and I begin to feel for them. I cry with them, and then I begin to reach out to them where they are. You see, it's something that we are all learning. I learned to pastor the community. I learned to pray for my community, to profile my community, so that I can do this last thing, which is to penetrate the community. Profiling will lead to penetration. Information will lead to intercession, and intercession will then lead to involvement. It is when we begin to serve the community. You know, as I get to know the community, we begin to know their felt needs, I begin to know what my block is facing, that's when I begin to serve the community with no strings attached. And we tried so many ways in which we could try and serve and touch base, meet the felt needs of the people within those few blocks and those in that community. We try all kinds of things, throwing block parties, giving free books giveaway, family carnival, community seminars, hot dog parties, you know, mooncake festival parties, football club, whatever we can think of, whatever else the Holy Spirit may lead you to do. And all these acts of kindness are done with no strings attached. We simply want to love the community. But our purpose really is to push back the powers of darkness over the community, bringing about an open heaven in the land. And once we take territorial responsibility, then you know what? Listen carefully, don't miss this. Once you make a territorial commitment to that block, to that community, then you know what? You are no longer a tenant in that place, but you become owners and you have territorial rights over that land. We step into the kingly anointing of the Lord in that space because we made a commitment to this land. We take this block to heart. We begin to rule and reign with Christ. Then and only then can we change the spiritual atmosphere where God has planted us. And we earn the right to make spiritual decrees in that territory. Then Jeremiah 29, verse 4 and 7 will come to pass over this adopted block or territory. Listen to what Jeremiah 29, verse 4 to 7 says. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon." So now they have been exiled to Babylon. Then what do they do in Babylon? The Lord challenged them, "Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat their fruit, take wives, beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that they may increase there and not diminish." And then he goes on to say this. In other words, when you are in that land, occupy. You know, let life go on, you know, begin to live life, you know, give and, and be married and all of that, raise your children. Then he goes on to say this, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will find peace. And how many of you agree? Babylon is not particularly a place where the children of Israel can identify as their own. In fact, it is a land that's very foreign to them. Now, we may sometimes also feel the same way towards our neighbors, our adopted community, but God is telling us to live fully in that land. He's reminding us that He's the one who placed us there. And then make a territorial commitment to it. And once you do, a few things can begin to happen. Firstly, you're going to find favor in your work. You know, in verse 6 of Jeremiah 29, it says that they may increase there and not be diminished. You see, once we set ourselves firmly into the place where God has planted us, it unlocks the spiritual dynamics of increase into the place, into the church. We're going to find everything we need to do what God has called us to do. You know, I believe there's a supernatural favor that God releases whenever we are willing to make a territorial commitment, willing to take that block or that place that God has planted you in, be it an office or be it our home, you know, we take it to heart. And once we take it to heart, it releases certain spiritual dynamics. It releases the favor of God into everything that you do. You make a territorial commitment and God will release favor and increase into your space. Jeremiah 29:7 says, therefore, seek the peace of the city, for in its shalom you will find shalom. So if you make a territorial commitment, the first thing that happens is you will find favor. The second is you will find focus in your work. You see, once we make the territorial commitment, we will immediately be able to focus in and concentrate all of our efforts and energies. We understand straight away that everything we do must revolve around reaching this community. See, you don't have to look everywhere now. You know where your focus is. We will love this block. We will serve this block. We will pray for this block. We will reach out to this block. We will plant cells from this block to the next block. It becomes our goal to light up our block in Christ. See, our goal is to multiply ourselves. Once we plant a cell in this block, our goal is to multiply ourselves from this block to the next block, to the next block, until every block in that community is spiritually owned by a cell group. That is our focus. And then together, when there's enough cells planted in every block across our city, the whole city can be taken. There's focus now. Focus brings power. Is that right? Whenever we are focused, we become more powerful. See, it's like when sunlight falls onto the grass patch, nothing really happens except maybe a warm feeling. But if you take a magnifying glass and you focus the sun's ray onto one blade of grass, then what happens? You can start a fire. In fact, why? It's because of the power of focus. Now, if you can concentrate the sun rays even more, it can become a laser beam, and then it can cut through steel. That's the power of focus. And focus is one of the most powerful principles that comes with territorial commitment. Once I make a territorial commitment to my block, then I know. When I pray for what? I pray for my block. When I plant cells, where do I plant them? I plant it within my block. When I serve, who do I serve? I serve my block. It's our block all the way. And together, we can win our city block by block. Number one, make that territorial commitment and the promise you can claim. You'll find favor, you'll find focus. Here's the third thing, you will find fruitfulness in your work. With favor and focus will come fruitfulness. And as we sow into our block, it will lead to harvest. Seed time will lead to harvest. Through the continual seeding of targeted prayers, deeds of kindness, the sharing of the gospel, we will see a harvest breakthrough in our block and beyond. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters of Hope Church, I believe your pastor really want to challenge every one of you to love your block. You know, I believe the Holy Spirit this morning is challenging all of us to make a territorial commitment to our block. And this is our divine appointment because God has planted you there. It is our divine assignment. You know, the people that are there, they still don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. They are your assignment. But the key is this, you must adopt them. You must take them to heart. You must make that territorial commitment to them and take personal responsibility for their spiritual well-being. And that is when we can begin to pastor them, profile them, pray for them, and then we can learn to preach to them. Let us commit, brothers and sisters, to loving our block. And then together we love Singapore block by block. Amen. Let's bow and have a word of prayer. Father, I ask this morning that you will come and you open up our minds to understand your spiritual concepts, the concept of appointment, that Lord, you are the one who determine our times and you determine the exact places where we should live. Lord, then teach us that within that appointment, you have given us our divine assignment. God, we recognize that you place us there to be a light in the midst of darkness. You place us in our block so that we could pastor, we could profile, we can begin to pray for the people within our block. And we wait for the opportunities. We look out for those divine appointments where we could really preach the gospel to them. But God, this morning, I pray that you challenge every one of us to adopt the assignments that you have given to us. We take it to heart and we make a commitment to care for the spiritual well-being of the people around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.